This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That was Rob Bradford last week. I think our answer to that was no.
Yeah.
No, we don't see him getting just an avalanche of money.
No.
When he decides to actually opt out, the plan is to opt out, according to John Heyman. Sounds like he's going to. And so what does it mean for the Red Sox? I'm surprised. I understand the qualifying offer or the lack of a qualifying offer this go-round. And that should make him more attractive to teams in theory. There's no draft pick compensation tied to him as there would have been a year ago. We brought this up with Pete Alonso before as well.
Yeah.
I get that. I still don't think. You brought up the third baseman contracts before. Matt Olson. On the wrong side of 30, which Bregman is. Third baseman, biggest contracts they've got. He got 6 years, 150 at age 31.
Yeah, because looking at some of these big deals, Manny Machado signed his at 30. Devers signed his at 26. Anthony Rendon, which is more of a cautionary tale than anything else, signed his at 29. Nolan Arenado signed his big contract at 27. Austin Riley was 25. Jose Ramirez, Jose Ram, one of the GOATs, at 29. And those all vary, right? Some of those are as high as, you know, Machado's is 11. Some of those are more 6-7 year deals. So,
and I'd imagine some of those guys were coming off stronger years, too.
I think even a 6-year deal would be an overpay. And that's what he was offered last year. And so this year, maybe it's more like a 4 or 5 year deal. And it's certainly not going to be the average annual value of 41. The highest average annuals, there's only 4 third basemen making over $30 million a year. And one of those guys is Rendon, which again is like the worst contract
hasn't
in baseball
played
history.
In years,
yeah, yeah, that's like a joke of a contract.
The year before Matt Chapman got paid by the Giants, he hit 17 home runs and hit 240.
Okay, so that's not good.
Yeah, that's not
good. He was 30 when he signed, or that 31. Was his age 30 season.
How many games? Do you have it?
140 games.
Okay, so he would have had the edge on Bregman there, but yeah, that's a down year.
Bregman missed 50 games, and he's going to be 32 on opening day. So
yeah, and I feel weird talking about him that way.
I like Bregman. I want
too.
Bregman. I'm just saying, like, I don't think there's this $200 million contract waiting for him.
Right, but okay, let's say he does follow through on opting out. I didn't think it was a lock, but it sounds like it's going to happen now based on the reporting from John Heyman, who, let's just say, has a direct line to Bregman's agent. So, yeah, I think now you have to overpay for him, and they have you over a barrel to some extent. And I don't think Boris has made all the right financial decisions for his client lately. I guarantee you Jordan Montgomery didn't think he made the right financial decisions. That's
no.
why he fired him. Like
Even Blake
literally.
Snell, I can't imagine, was thrilled with it a couple years ago.
So, but on this one, it looks like Boris is playing it right, assuming there's a market out there. Are you willing, Keith, to overpay for Bregman? Who, again, I like a lot, but I like a lot of the intangible stuff. Winner, been there, done that. Professional, leader on this team. I like a lot of what all that represents as opposed to what they've had here in the past. And I think with a young team, Roman Anthony and guys like this, you need that. Are you willing to overpay? Whatever that is, but 6 years, 150, Twitch chat is saying, give him massive AAV over short term.
Yeah, but he's walking away from that.
I was just going to say, I don't know that he'd want that. He is walking away
he
from
has that.
So maybe massiver AAV over over short term. Like, I don't know.
Gotcha.
But whatever an overpay is in your mind, are you willing to go there overpay to to bring back Bregman, or is it a hard line in the sand?
Well, let me ask you a question, a follow-up. And not to, you know, answer a question with a question.
But go ahead.
I'm fine, because we get into this argument once again, or this conversation where it's John Henry spending this money. We already, as fans, spend so much money to go to these games that, yeah, they should be at the top of the league in payroll. But are you overpaying Bregman in, like, you know, the world of, like, the market? And now you can't get Alonso, Joe Ryan, Bo Bichette, like, you know, all these other guys. Or are you getting him in addition to all those guys? You're like, hey, we're bringing back Bregman, paying him a little bit more than we thought, but you know what? We don't have to pay Devers anymore. We got out of all of that contract. So we're overpaying Bregman, because honestly, they overpaid him this year. He's not worth $41 million a year, but that's how they got him. It was a short-term deal. They didn't have to commit to him long-term. But if they get him back, I really don't care what it is if you also get Pete Alonso.
Well,
but if he's the reason you don't get him, then, like, okay, that's a different conversation.
Well, and I'm with you. It shouldn't be an excuse. You dump the Devers money, so this is where you got to use it. So if you got to overpay on Bregman, great. You have more money to play around with. That should not prevent you from Tucker, Schwarber, Alonso. I'd have Alonso at the top of my personal list, as we've illustrated in the past. I think he's a perfect fit.
Because at the time of them signing Bregman, they had to commit 3 years, whatever, $120 million. The whole drama with Devers hadn't taken place yet. So they were probably still going to pay him that contract with Bregman. And then if the team does really well, I think the conversation would still come up this offseason. Hey, do you add somebody else? So I think there is that wiggle room, or maybe it's even in the budget, where you can be under what the future projections even were. Not that I'm trying to save him money. I'm just saying, like, how they might even be able to do this or justify it to themselves. Bring back Bregman, bring back Story, and still make a big splash.
Yeah. That's what bringing back Bregman is not enough. We don't give them a hero's welcome. And I think the Bregman signing was Breslow. He's the GM, baseball officer, chief baseball officer. So I gave him credit for that. If you don't retain Bregman, I'll blame him for that. I know a lot of people wanted to give Cora credit for the signing. Like, I hope you would assign some blame to Cora. If he walks, like, obviously he doesn't have that much impact with Bregman if he walks. So I hope the people who argued for Cora would stay consistent there. But there would be heat on the GM, and there already is, but there would be from me specifically if you can't figure this out. You don't really get that much credit for re-signing him. You already had him.
No.
And we went into the offseason saying, you need Bregman and Alonso, Bregman and Schwarber, Bregman and Tucker. Like, pick one of those guys. Plus, I'd like to see on top of that a trade for a pitcher. That's what I want. I want to sign a bat, trade for a pitcher, whether that's Campbell, Duran, et cetera.
Yeah.
Figure it out and go trade for a pitcher. But, yeah, just bringing back Bregman and largely running it back with the same group, I'm not giving you any credit for that. You already had him.
No, right. And you saw how close you could get with the group that you have. And, yeah, Roman Anthony was hurt at the end of the year. So let's say you're a little bit better than that. You still lost in the wild card round. So how do you improve your team? It's right there for you. There's an obvious fit like Pete Alonso, but one of the reasons why he's the obvious fit is, in my mind, you already have the left side of your infield kind of set for next year. And then if you don't there, then there's sort of like a trickle down. So I don't fault Bregman for opting out. I thought he might just come back based on missing 50 games and $41 million. But it's not like the most shocking thing in the world. Like, maybe
let's see what he gets on the market.
Well, right.
Let's see what he gets
on the open market. And maybe he said, you know what, like, I had this. I agreed to this deal with the opt outs. I'm going to use my opt out, and you know what? Maybe I'll just settle in on a 5-year deal, no opt outs. I'll know what I'm getting. It'll be less each of the next 2 years, but overall, I'm set, and I know where I am for 5 years and all that. Maybe he wants to do that.
Yeah, but if he gets 500, 6120, something like that, he screwed up royally, and Boris screwed up on his behalf royally. Yeah. And
do you think he gets $30 million per year?
No.
Yep.
Do you?
$30 million for 3 years?
On a shorter term deal. I thought we were talking five, 6 years.
Three for 4 years. 38 for 4. Because I don't think. So basically, he's walking away from 2 at $82 million. So if you put that into the equation, he has to get more than 3 for $90 million. Otherwise, that's insane.
Yeah, but does he want a short? If he wants a short term deal, he should have just stayed with this, because he's not going to do better on a short term deal. I don't think. If I'm wrong, I'll say it. Like, I didn't think he would opt out. He hasn't yet, but it sounds like he's going to. I'll be wrong about that.
Yeah, like, who's going to pay him 2 for $90 million? Like,
I don't think anyone.
It's dumb.
So, yeah. And it's worth it to me for the Red Sox to overpay for him, but you would be overpaying. And I shudder to think of what they do if he leaves. Text line is asking about this.
Right.
What's the in-house option if Bregman leaves? He opts out
Marcelo
and then
Meyer
signs somewhere else. So Meyer is now your third baseman. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know how many games he's going to play, unfortunately. That's concerning. I think the player, and like defensively, he proved that he can play third. He can play anywhere, and he was willing to do it.
He can definitely do it defensively.
Yeah.
I still believe in the bat, so I'll even give you that. You hit on the main thing with him.
It's concerning.
How many games are you getting?
I know. And then if he's your third baseman, that obviously means he's not your second baseman, because I think just like everybody's healthy, everybody's back, couple of signings, he might be your second baseman, right? Story also could be gone, but Story, Bregman, Meyer, and Alonso, I think, is like the dream infield. But there's also a reality where it's none of those guys. And Meyer's under contract, but Meyer might be hurt. Story and Bregman could leave, and then you just don't sign Alonso. And then you're like, Tristan Casas, Christian Campbell, David Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, I don't rule that out. They have goodwill to a degree from making the playoffs. A lot of fans are still upset about the Devers thing. I think they're wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They have some goodwill for making the playoffs.
There's no free agent third baseman except for Eugenio Suarez.
I could see them saying, hey, we're continuing with the youth movement and Bregman opted out, but oh well, he got a crazy I could see them doing that. I wouldn't defend it at all. I'd kick and scream about it. But could I see the team doing that now that it sounds like Bregman is going to opt out? I could. Best guess is he's back. I think he wants to be back. I think the team wants him back. I think they understand the value, but it's dangerous giving John Henry too much credit.
I think the fit
is
good.
Henry is definitely going to do X, Y, and Z and pay X, Y, and Z. That's dangerous to believe it until he actually does it. So if you're asking me to pick and guess, I bet he's back. But if he's not, they really don't have a lot of pivot options.
No, they don't. The free agency is pretty thin at that spot. Guys in-house.
You said Suarez is the big name? That's it?
Eugenio Suarez, Max Muncy. I mean, these guys are both in their mid-30s.
Is Muncy even playing third these days?
I don't think so. He's listed on the thing that I'm looking at. It's a club option, too, so maybe he doesn't even get the free agency. Kike Hernandez is listed as a third. Yoan Moncada.
I would rather not do that.
No, it's a pretty bad list.
So is Bregman worth overpaying for? Because I think now that it sounds like he plans to opt out, according to John Heyman, you're going to have to overpay.
Well, Texan said you could trade for Devers. He plays third. He could also play first.
Well, just get ready for it. I mean, if Bregman walks and signs with the Twins, the Tigers, whomever. Twins are probably a bad example. Tigers.
I mean, AJ Hinch, I could see the Tigers. Like, although they're in a fight now with Scooble.
The Devers people, who magically went away again. The Devers people will be back in full force if Bregman signs somewhere else. And honestly, they'll have a better argument if Bregman leaves. Like, they will. The idea was Bregman's replacing Devers. He's an upgrade on Devers, which he was. And they'll have more of a leg to stand on if Bregman goes somewhere else. Rick is in Salem. Hello, Rick.
Rick,
hello?
Rick, are you there? We heard some beeping there. Yeah, that's an ominous sign.
Sounded very urgent. He says, get Bregman out of here. I've seen this on the text line, too. Get Bregman out of here.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, maybe he's
he hasn't even left yet.
That life support.
You driving him there?
Get him out of here. He's overrated, he says.
I don't think he's overrated.
He's not underrated.
He's not underrated.
I will say that. He's not underrated, and I'm guilty of this. Like, I love Bregman. I love the idea of the signing. He ain't underrated, so does that by default make him overrated?
No, he could be properly rated. You don't think he's properly rated?
I mean, did you hear Veritek this morning? I know you did.
I did. I was Veritek.
Fixed everybody's swing. He's like the best teammate ever.
But some of that can be true.
Some of it can be true. He hit .273 with 18 homers. So,
yeah,
like,
but have you ever heard anybody say he's a top 5 player in baseball? Have you heard anybody say he's a top 10 player in baseball?
No, but could he be overrated and I still want him? Like, he could still be a good player and be overrated and I still want him.
Yeah.
He's a little overrated, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've probably been guilty of that.
We are overrating him.
Yeah.
Maybe Scott Boras is overrating him.
Maybe.
Maybe he's overrating himself. We'll find out.
I mean,
he hasn't
played a full year the last 2 years.
No.
His home runs dropped over the last 2 years. You did some of this earlier, Keith, 26 to 18. His batting average actually went up last year, .260 to .273, but the OPS went down. I'm sorry, I take that back. OPS went up, .821 to .768.
Yeah, no, it went up.
So, you know, he wasn't healthy last year. If he could play a full season, some of those numbers would look a lot better, but he hasn't done that for 2 years.
No. But, yeah, with all that, I still want him back. I think they make a good case to keep him, meaning, like, he's made the play. Every year he's been a starter, he's made the playoffs. And this would give you an opportunity to do it. He seemed like he had a great time. Great relationship with Alex Cora. Seems to love the young players. I don't know. Like, that's all appealing. That's good. But they're going to have to pay him. I don't think they have to go crazy, though. Like, I think what this does, and you knew it the second he signed the contract, and you knew about the opt-outs, and we lived this with JD Martinez, too. His was a little bit different, but I think it was a 5-year deal with opt-outs after, was it 3-4? Whatever it was.
That sounds right.
But, like, you're going to have this time where it's going to seem like he's gone, then it's going to seem like he's back, then it's going to seem like, and then ultimately he's going to make a decision. So my prediction is he's back, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get these John Heyman stories trying to drive up the price or be like, oh, he's close to the Tigers or whatever. I still think he's back.
Twitch chat says 5 for $150. You think that would get it done for him?
I mean, I think it should, but
you don't even think you have to go there.
I mean, it's $30 million a year. That's fair. Because it's way more than what he has. It's more years. If he turned down a 6-year deal last year, I don't know if he had any regrets about that. But now that kind of puts you back to that same time. So maybe.
Another point here. People are asking, well, how can Bregman opt out already? Doesn't he have to wait till the end of the World Series? The report from John Heyman, to get into semantics, is that he plans to opt out. It's not that he has opted out.
They're not going
to
interrupt the World Series like with A-Rod and be like, hey, guys, by the way.
It is not past tense. He has opted out. It's that he plans to opt out. And when John Heyman says that, I think we know right where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty good insight on the plan. I don't think anybody's shocked by it. I didn't think it was a lock that he would opt out. But it sounds like that's now what he plans on doing. But the good news is, just because he opts out doesn't mean he won't come back.
Right.
We see this all the time. You've brought up Gerrit Cole, among others, guys who have opted out and gone right back to their team. So I think that's in play with Alex Bregman. But I think now you will be overpaying. And I think he's worth overpaying. Even if that makes him a little overrated and we're buying in a little too much on the intangibles and the leadership and everything else, I don't really see the alternative plan. And I think in some ways he was a perfect fit for you last year, just like I think Alonso would be a perfect fit this year.
Oh, yeah, no brainer.
And I would lean in on players like that. 617-779-7937. I read you this earlier, Keith. Dave Schoenfield had a plan for the Red Sox this offseason.
I love a good plan.
And we've done these in the past. Maybe we should bring these back.
Ooh, should we do another plan?
He says you got to re-sign Bregman. That one's tenuous.
I would agree with it, though. That would be a part of my plan.
Meyer to second base.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
I feel better about relying on Meyer there. I feel like they have more options potentially to pivot away from than going Meyer all in at third base.
It works for me.
Christian Campbell is the odd man out, most likely traded. I interpret that as...
Yeah, for what, I guess?
Probably pitching help.
I'm not just dumping them, but yeah, if you're getting somebody good, then okay.
Bring back Giolito, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Or sign someone like Merrill Kelly, or if you're thinking bigger, Framber Valdez, Shane Bieber. Fill out the pitching staff, basically.
All right, so another big starter.
But he thinks the team will play it safe and bring back a similar roster.
Well, I don't like that even for a lot of different reasons.
Even
I don't like
with
that.
Just Bregman.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want them to overpay and bring Bregman back.
No.
If it's just Bregman with a similar roster, that is not enough.
Well, because we said this in real time. When they traded Devers, you got out from this massive contract. You weren't going to bring that player in or the equivalent in at the trade deadline, but we said this offseason they need to. And so it's sort of like I think a lot of people wanted a big trade done then. Didn't happen. It was frustrating they didn't add more. I would have been happy with some rentals. But as far as like a potential 30, 40 home run guy, 120 RBI, like that type of player, it's probably more likely going to happen in the offseason. So if you don't do it at the deadline and then also don't do it in the offseason, then that trade looks even worse.
Meanwhile, between Alex Bregman, and we had reports the other week, I think this was Cotillo as well, they might not even be bothered if Bregman opted out and went elsewhere. I don't know if that's ownership. I don't know if that's Breslow. I don't know where those comments are coming from. But is Breslow tearing things down? Jason Baratek was on the Greg Hill Show earlier today.
Is it studio? Brought donuts, everything.
It was a very interesting interview. It's worth a listen on the Odyssey app. We'll play you some clips from it coming up. And it makes me wonder if Breslow is really starting to tear things down here. We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Lady.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
I was Jason Veritek this morning on the Greg Hill Show. He was here for a while, apparently, and that's before he got on the air.
Yeah, he was.
He was here long enough to meet Billy Lanny in our break room.
You think the highlight of Veritek's day?
Probably.
Yeah.
Sitting there, he's like, hey, I expected I'd come into this radio station. I would have the red carpet rolled out for me.
He's like, are you radio's Billy Lanny? He's like, are you former Red Sox catcher Jason Veritek?
He's waiting in a break room where he brought donuts for like the whole building.
Yeah, it was great.
Very gracious man.
Thank you.
Thank you to the captain.
Yeah.
Jason Veritek.
And then his on-air negotiation was great. I mean, his interview was great.
So what do you think he was doing there? He has a meeting today. It might be going on now for all we know.
Well, I thought it was pretty curious. Last week, Bradford had a tweet where he was named a bunch of the members of the Red Sox coaching staff and said they're going to be back. And it
Which,
was like,
I know you were
excited. Well, Kyle Hudson, I mean, maybe send him home next time. But Kyle Hudson, Pete Fatsy, Andrew Bailey, a few other guys even lower on the list. And it was just like, they're all going to be back. And a lot of the comments were, what about Veritek? Veritek, the most well-known of the assistant coaches on the Red Sox, even if he's not, you know, the pitching coach or the hitting coach or the bench coach, but he's been just a presence for so long. And you see him all the time in games and whatever else. And his name wasn't on there. And then it's like his contract's coming up. It's like,
But separately, Cotillo had a report last week. He said, I heard Veritek is quote-unquote expected back with the Red Sox this year as of now.
However,
of course, lots of openings across the game.
Yeah, Ramon Vasquez has been requested to get an interview with the Minnesota Twins. Their job's open. The Giants, as we know, after Devers got their manager fired, that job is up there. So Veritek just kind of popping in, and you heard that cut right there that we played back talking about, you know, how committed he has been for so long to this franchise. I think he wants to be back. I feel like he also wants to be a manager, and maybe there's a manager opportunity out there. Or if he can't be a manager somewhere else, at least make it worth his while he's here.
So that's how you heard it when he was on earlier today, which I find interesting. Again, he has a meeting, which he said, with Breslow today.
Yeah.
So could be going on right now. I did think it was bold of him to belly laugh when Greg called Breslow Brezbot.
Brezbot, yeah.
I thought that was a bold flavor going into this meeting because he laughed maybe a little too hard.
Don't call him a stiff.
At that joke.
Because Breslow will fire
He'll fire you on the spot.
Your head will spin.
Via Zoom. But when it comes to his future, do you think he's a manager anywhere else in baseball?
Maybe not this season, but someday.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. There's a lot of former players that are managers.
But we're talking, let's talk this offseason.
No,
is anybody
going to
offer him their managers? He's never even been a bench coach.
Well, so that's why I think this year the opportunity, and maybe this is also part of the conversation he has with Breslow, Cora, I think Cora first. But if Ramon Vasquez gets hired by the Twins, you know, have a vacancy at bench coach, does Cora view him as a bench coach? And then that's sort of your next step up.
Well, if you're Veritek and your aspiration is to manage, and I don't think he said this in the interview, but yeah. It sounds like that's his career aspiration. He wants to do it.
It is funny, though. In that job, guys have been plucked right from their playing days to being managers.
Well,
like, in the
true.
NBA, like,
that's
you don't
true.
Need
I mean,
that long system.
Guys jump off the TV set to do it, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good point. So maybe he doesn't need to be a bench coach, fair. But just do I feel like anybody at this point is offering Veritek their manager's job? I don't. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So now what's the best way to get a job? Is it to stay here where you've been for 28 years, as he said,
yeah.
giving everything you've got?
A lot of sacrifice, yep.
Or, and we would say this about maybe a poor example because it's someone's kid as opposed to just working for the same organization, but like Steve Belichick, you want to go get a job somewhere and prove your mettle? Don't you got to leave, the warm bosom of Dada?
How'd that work?
And go prove yourself? Well, it hasn't
he
really
went crawling right back to Dada.
He did.
Actually, he tried it for a year and then now coaching for his kid. I think with Veritek, though, it's a little bit different. Veritek isn't a guy that wasn't associated with the game and came up as sort of either like the son of a guy or like just.
But would it help Veritek to make more connections? Maybe it's more Mayo-esque.
Oh.
Maybe it's more Mayo-esque than Belichick-esque, where it's like, meaning Steve Belichick. Maybe it's more like, hey, Gerard, maybe broaden your horizons a little bit and go out and work for somebody else and make more connections throughout the game. Maybe that would help Veritek in terms of getting the job.
Or do
I don't
like
want to make it
here?
Sound like he's not connected. He played.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if that would help him get on someone's radar more, or is he just waiting out Cora here?
So I wonder if there's something to that, because Cora's made comments in the past about, you know, not being a manager forever. Like, talk about the importance of family and things like that. And who knows how much of that was negotiation stuff himself?
Speaking of leverage with that guy, you can't trust anything that guy says. So speaking of leverage.
No, that's true. But I also wonder if, does he want to be a GM? Does he want to be in the media? You know, he's definitely been in the media before. He's also, I think, we saw when he was butting heads a little bit with like Chaim Bloom and even Craig Breslow. I think that's a job that he might want to do. So maybe he doesn't want to manage forever. Maybe he doesn't want that kind of daily grind. I think he's probably going to manage out his contract, but even if he's offered a second one, let's say things go great and he's like super successful over this next stretch and they're like, hey, do you want to sign another deal? I don't know. I could see him being like, no, I might not. And then if you're Veritek, do you want to be here and they be like a top candidate and like you never left and then like you're the next in line here? Or do you want to go see what you can do for 2-3 years and then come back and like, will you still be at the top of the line?
No, the happy medium, and this is probably what he was doing today, is, well, there's a lot of jobs out there. Yeah. I might interview for him. And he wants that bench coach job if Vasquez gets hired elsewhere. Now, you still need that to happen, but it sounds like he's a candidate in Minnesota. So, hey, I'm the guy. You give me a raise. I'm the bench coach. Maybe a wink and a nod deal if Cora decides that he's done managing.
Yeah.
Or if you decide you're done with Cora, then I'm the next guy.
Is there also a little bit of coming on the show today and just to be like publicly like, I want to be here? And then if we find out that he's not, you then turn the attention to Breslow, and you're like, why is Veritek not here?
So we said earlier, I think the buck actually stops with Henry on this one.
Yeah.
And maybe we should play that game, too, with Bregman. I'll just try to be consistent on where we're doling out credit. I didn't think Bregman was a crazy contract. It was a one-year deal, effectively. So I don't think that was Juan Soto level, where the owner clearly is driving it, right? But, yeah, it would blow back on Breslow. And this is what I do wonder about Craig Breslow. From the, thanks, Brez, you stiff, to some of the people that are out, I know it's not his choice, right? Paul Toboni is the guy who just got hired as the Nats GM, right? I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Paul Toboni?
I think it's Tabone.
but he's now bringing some staff with him to Washington.
Right.
So I don't know how much of that is Breslow's choice, how much of it isn't. But I do wonder if this is a bit of a Breslow teardown where, like, okay, I've been here a couple of years. I'm kicking out some of the old. I'm bringing in some of the new, and I wonder if Veritek is part of that purge, and this was calculated on Veritek's end, to your point, to say, no, I want it on the record. I want to be here. I poured out my heart and soul, but they got to want me, and maybe that was part of the calculus, because how often does Veritek do stuff like this, by the way? Not often?
Rarely.
Does he jump on Greg's show a lot? I don't remember it if he has.
Definitely hasn't brought donuts before.
Okay. Right, first time I remember that. Billy, you haven't rolled into the office
Veritech before?
Often early in the morning first and Veritech's just sitting there for an hour?
First
no?
Time today. Well, in all seriousness, okay, and not to downplay what he does.
Does that tell you he already knows he's out?
Maybe. Because that's a weird thing. Before you're going to go meet with your boss about whether you're going to get a new contract.
Let me go on the radio.
Talk about how I want to be here, but there are other opportunities out there. Yeah, the timing is curious. But also, not to downplay what he does, but could you name a single other game planning and run prevention coach for any other major league team?
No, I mean, I bet some have them, but could I name them? Hell no.
Right, good point. Not all of them even have them.
I don't know that to be true, but I bet not every team
offensive has that. Coordinator, defensive coordinator, pitching coach, hitting coach, and even hitting coach. Like, okay.
It's the equivalent of the run game coordinator.
Right. It's like manager, pitching coach. These are the guys you see during the game.
Bench coach.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's like, especially
if they cut to core and they're standing next to each other.
And they're next to each other. Yeah. Like Leo Mazzoni next to Jimmy or Bobby Cox. Yeah. Like that guy. You knew him. But for the most part, like, you only see the bench coach if the manager gets thrown out of the game.
Sure.
And the pitching coach running out there for, you know, to talk to the pitcher, that kind of thing. But then when you look at it, they have a million coaches. They got a bench coach, a hitting coach. They have two assistant hitting coaches.
I was going to say, they have like three hitting coaches. Yeah. I think one of them is not coming. One of the assistants isn't coming back.
They obviously have a pitching coach and a bullpen coach and a bullpen catcher. Sure. They also have a catching instructor who's also a bullpen catcher. They have, famously, a first and a third base coach. Like, these guys are all on the staff. So, like, what exactly Jason Veritek does on a day-to-day basis, I don't know. But he is the one that is most beloved by the fans.
Well, that's the whole hook to it. Yeah. Was there anything else you liked from that interview or anything else that stood out? It's definitely worth a listen on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Go back and use the rewind feature to hear Veritek this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
I did like the timing of it, and it's curious, and it feels like maybe he is going to be gone once that's going to go. But then they also got into, like, his playing days a little bit, which is always fun. He was asked by Wiggy who the best hitter he ever saw was. And Wiggy did say it was Manny, right?
Yeah, he led the witness.
And he's like, yeah, Manny. And he's like, the first name he brought up, and at first he was like right-handed, because I think he wanted to give credit to Ortiz. And he talked about just how clutch, obviously, Ortiz is. But he's like, Nomar. And you're right. If you're talking like pure hitter, and this happens all the time.
Were they at Georgia Tech together, right? They were.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, there might be a bit of a bias there too, but it
was Jay Payton.
It was a real interesting answer,
I believe,
where he's like, he used the same bat for 8 months straight, and the sweet spot was just worn out.
Yeah, but it's a great answer, because I also feel like guys that played in the 2000s with any of the Boston teams that didn't win get completely overlooked.
Fair.
So it's like Wes Welker now sucks, Nomar sucks. It's like, no, those guys were incredible. They just happened to not be on teams that won.
It's probably fair they get overlooked, but they didn't suck.
No, they were great, great players, and it's just we're now on this curve where it's like, well, how many titles did you win? It's
right.
Like, well, he didn't win any. And it's like, oh, never mind.
I loved his answer, too, about Bronson Arroyo and sticking up for him when he face-washed A-Rod.
That was really good.
Because he's like, look, if A-Rod was talking smack, it probably wouldn't have bothered him. It's that he was doing it specifically to Bronson Arroyo, who's 130 pounds. Said he hit him with an 86-mile-an-hour pitch.
Yeah, he hit him like in the elbow pad with an 86-mile-an-hour.
And he's like, there's no chance he would have done that to Schilling or Pedro,
which
is what pissed me off, which I thought was a great answer.
No, it was. It was A-Rod kind of picking on Bronson Arroyo, and Veritek said, come on, so not going to have that.
Good blend of news and also nostalgia there this morning
with
the Greg Hill Show from Veritek. 617-779-7937. You guys can jump aboard here on Jones and Keefe. Coming up next, let's get back to the Patriots. How do they fix that running game? That has been very underwhelming. We'll do it coming up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That was Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Use the Odyssey app. You want to go back and listen to that? AUDACY rewind feature. You can listen to Schefter yesterday, Veritech this morning. We had Taylor Kyles and Terp on today. Terp talking about the media day. I'm laughing at the social media clip of him just going, it all happened so fast.
I mean, there was not much they could do. All of a sudden, they were in the middle of one, full court press by a bunch of former D1 players and NBA players.
Yeah, seriously. So you can go back and listen to any of that. That Schefter comment probably sounds negative on the surface. It's like, well, no, he's not the MVP.
Yeah.
If you had to sit here and pick the MVP today, I would agree with him. No, he's not the MVP.
I wouldn't vote for him, but it's not one vote anymore. They give you a bunch of votes, and last year, what did we say it was? Like seven different quarterbacks got a vote?
Something like that, yeah.
Maybe more. Maybe it was nine quarterbacks. It might have been two non-quarterbacks, like seven or eight regular or quarterbacks. So like
five or six.
Seven or eight. Good call.
Is he playing in the top 25% of quarterbacks right now? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just obsessed with quarterbacks getting that award. So, yeah, he's in the mix.
I think the stance has been he should be in the discussion, in the mix.
He is.
Exactly. But when Schefter says, is he the MVP? No, he's not the MVP. He isn't. I would agree with Schefter on that, despite how negative that might sound. I don't think any of us are saying he is the MVP. He should just be in the discussion. But Mayfield, to me, would be the MVP. I
mean, guy's the man.
Did you have that? You had that in the preseason,
yeah.
Right?
We both
had the Bucks in the Super Bowl, but you went the extra mile with Baker. You've been overcompensating for Baker ever since you hated him last year.
I loved him. Didn't love him enough, and I apologize, and it'll never happen again. As the MVP.
You hear Brian Hoyer yesterday. Do you have this, Nick? Brian Hoyer, and this is quick, but Brian Hoyer thinks it's a two-man race for the MVP.
Two-man race?
So, Brian Hoyer, do you believe, I asked Adam Schefter this question a few minutes ago, and he kind of laughed at us, even though I don't think he knew the history of the award. Do you believe that Drake May is a legitimate MVP candidate in his second NFL season?
Yeah, I do. At six games in, I mean, the reality is, I know this is like people get caught up on like, what did people do last year, former MVPs, all of that stuff. The reality is, I think it's a two-man race right now. Now, look, there's a lot of football to go and be played, and I would say Baker Mayfield is in the lead, and Drake May is right behind him.
Two-man race. It goes Baker Mayfield, then Drake May.
And that's the guy that picked the Pats to win anywhere between 6 and 11 games this year.
Yeah, he's got
so take that.
He's got Drake May winning between 0 and 1 MVP award this year is what he's got.
Drake May is fourth on the odds in some places.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's moved.
Mahomes is first, then Josh Allen, two names he did not mention.
Yeah.
Then Baker Mayfield, and they're all pretty close together. And then there's a drop to Drake May, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford.
May was ninth on Monday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that moved. Do we just wish that into existence, or what happened there?
It's moved, all right. You know what that is. A lot of,
and then some.
A lot of mass holes gambling it up, I'm sure. But no, that's too strong.
It's all quarterbacks to the point where right now Bo Nix has the same odds as Jonathan Taylor. So it just goes to show you, like, it's going to be a quarterback, and it's going to be a quarterback on a playoff team. And then, especially if it's somebody that kind of comes out of nowhere a little bit, that might help, right? Like, Drake May this year going from a team that barely won a couple games to threatening to win the division, he's going to be on a lot of people's radar.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you're even looking at Drake May versus Sam Darnold, it's hard to be like, Drake May's clearly better than Sam Darnold. They're both 4-2. Darnold's thrown for more yards. May has a higher completion percentage. Darnold has more touchdowns. May has fewer picks. But it's like, they're right there, neck and neck. Yeah. I mean, Darnold has a higher quarterback rating. All the advanced metrics, the one guy you see consistently ahead of May is Darnold. And I would never sit here and tell you Sam Darnold's the MVP of the league, which is probably unfair. But, yeah, to say it's just down to two guys, Baker Mayfield and Drake May, I mean, come on.
Even like Jared Goff, I don't think he's very good, but like he keeps putting up these great stats and their offense is lighting the scoreboard up. So like, yeah, he's got to be on the short list.
So one of the things we talked about, can they keep winning putting this much on Drake May? We read from Mike Reese on Monday. I mean, Reese's takeaway, he wrote this on Sunday after the game. He's like, boy, I don't know if they can keep winning like this. I'm like, geez, Mike.
I think they can.
Mike, talk about a negative glass half empty take.
I know.
And Reese is like, it's too much on Drake May. They can't keep winning this way. You just said you think they can.
I think they can.
Because of the schedule.
Yeah.
Can they in the postseason?
So that's where I think it's going to be tough either way. Like, obviously, you want your run game to be good. But I think when you take it case by case, like, I get what Mike's point is. And you're like, all right, it's a long season. And you can't have all this. You can't put
He referenced the weather. It's going to turn in November and December.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that's something they have to deal with. Not every team has to deal with. But when you take it on a week-to-week basis, like, all right, they can't run the ball. Can they beat the Titans? Like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Can they beat the Browns?
Like, well, yeah, they can do that.
The Jets twice, the Dolphins. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, oh, they are going to win all these games. They just beat the Bills. Like, and so I think they'll be fine in the regular season, but it'd be one of those things where if it came back to bite them and every third and short in the playoffs, they get stuffed or McDaniels just can't even call run plays, we're going to be like, oh, the run game came back to bite them. But I don't think it'll be, like, they're not going to go 500 the rest of the way against this schedule because Drake May has asked to do too much. He's also proven that he's like up for it.
Yeah, I agree. He can get them there playing this way for sure.
Yeah.
Once you're there, how's it going to work out? You'd like to be a little more diverse.
Definitely.
Offensively. I was reading Keith, Chad
Kraft.
Graf.
Okay.
He relayed some PFF numbers. There are 55 qualifying running backs in the NFL.
55?
55.
Okay. So, like, not two per team, but, like, 1.5 per team, roughly?
Ish. Okay. I don't know what the cutoff is. I don't know if it's amount of snaps or touches. I'm not sure what it is. 55 qualifying running backs. Any guesses where Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson rank?
In what?
On the PFF running back grade.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, a certain stat. No, just, like, their grade?
Their running back grade.
Oh, okay.
Where do the two Patriots running backs rank out of 55 backs?
I would say 50th and 52nd.
Try 54th and 55th.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're the two worst running backs in football?
Ramondre checks in at 54. Travion checks in at 55, just for good measure.
He's the worst running back in the NFL for those that qualify.
Yes. Yeah. Just for good measure. Antonio Gibson on this list as well.
Oh, he got on there.
And he guesses where he checks in. The season's over. 51.
Really? So the Cerberus backfield, which we're not calling that anymore. They don't deserve that sweet nickname.
51, 54, and 55.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
They have the worst running backs. So when they put up the graphics, so next time they play on primetime and they tell you where all these guys rank, like dead last. That's the worst running back.
Well, but sometimes those numbers are misleading too because you're like, I don't know. He's 43rd. I guess that's not that bad. It's out of 55.
Out of 55.
50, dead last out of 55. Yeah.
But I think that checks out. These guys have been really bad.
I think the backs have been worse than the O-line.
Definitely.
I think the O-line has been fine. In fact, I was reading some numbers on Will Campbell today. Same grade, Pro Football Focus, their grade.
Nasty.
They have Campbell 18th out of 50 tackles. That's left and right.
18th out of 50. I'll take that.
I think that's good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. No, I'm saying, but that's kind of middle of the road. I don't think their offensive line has been great. I think their offensive line has been middle of the road. I think the backs have been terrible.
They have.
And I think those numbers back it up.
Because even if you just want to say Ramondre Stevenson's fumbles are a huge issue, and that's why he's down at the bottom of the list. But they're not running for anything either. There's no big plays. The yards per carry are super low for both guys. Ramondre's highlight this season was actually the catch, the catch and run, which it counts. That's all part of it. But I'm just saying, like, that's not even what he's known for. They haven't been able to get anything going. He had in the game that he had the two touchdowns. I mean, good for him, but like anybody could have those touchdowns. Those weren't like, oh, what a great play.
14 yards or something like that in that game.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if anybody touched him on those. So, yeah, and it's one of the biggest surprises because not that we looked at that as an amazing group, right? Like, going into the year, we're like, hey, the cornerbacks could be the best corner duo in the NFL. Nobody said this was the best
No, we just
triumvirate of running backs.
We felt like it was good, a good room.
Minimum average.
Yeah.
Average with the ability, if Henderson pops, to like be above average.
They've been three of the worst backs in football.
And it's their worst position group.
Yep.
I would say running back and safety. But if you're talking about offense, it's running back. And I don't think it's even close.
New nickname, Three Stooges.
Well done, Dice.
That's a Dice on the text
well
line.
Well done.
Perhaps. Certainly not the Cerberus backfield.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.